The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolien Marks.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am most well. So I've got this vision of Israelis and Lebanese sitting negotiating in a tent today, nobody really talking to each other. Is that what's actually happening? Or are they kind of, you know?
No, apparently, and this is what we have from the officials that were there, it was a very productive meeting. It even lasted an hour and a half, Simon. So I just want to caution listeners, this is not a step towards normalization, because I know that this is the hot topic, and I've just had news in that Mike Pompeo is putting the serious pressure on the Saudis to move towards normalization ties with Israel. But let's take a look at what's happening between Israel and Lebanon. So the two countries, well, officials from the two countries met for the first time in 30 years for negotiations on maritime borders. And these borders are important because they contain areas where there are very, very rich gas deposits, which is, of course, very good for the economy, especially at this time when Lebanon's economy is basically in free fall. And this is a negotiation that is being hosted by the United Nations and mediated by the United States. So, you know, we're not locked in a room alone together, you know, to give each other the side eye. This is carefully negotiated, and the one official from Lebanon after the meeting said that this is a first step in a 1,000-mile march, which is like very poetic language. But, you know, it went very productively, and this is the first time in 30 years that we've actually sat and had these important discussions. And we've heard from both the United Nations and the US that they will do whatever they can to facilitate this, to make sure that this happens.
Okay, well, we can only hope. Let's move on to COVID-19. Let's talk about the lockdown in Israel. I believe it's been extended. That's not good news.
Well, it's been extended, and this has been voted on unanimously by the coronavirus cabinet as well as the Knesset. And this is the second time this week we've had a unanimous vote. I mean, you know, this is just – it could explain why the temperature suddenly dropped. But very good news. I mean, this is not often that we have unanimous votes coming in, but this has happened. So where we are at the moment, and in the last 24 hours, we recorded our lowest infection rate since July, which is very good news. However, we're still not at the threshold that makes the Ministry of Health and the government feel comfortable to lift the lockdown. So where we are currently is we're in mandatory lockdown until Sunday. This could change tomorrow, because tomorrow the coronavirus cabinet is scheduled to meet. And we also know that the positive virus test rate amongst the ultra-Orthodox has also come down. It was well above 20%. It's now down to 12.8, but it's still not at an area that we are comfortable with, but it is starting to come down. However, we still are expecting a surge because of the gatherings during the Chagim, Sukkot, etc. So this is where what we're doing. We will know a little bit more tomorrow. Some of the plans for lifting the lockdown have kind of been made public. You know, it's going to be a much more lengthy process. It's going to be done in stages. You know, there's a lot of discussion happening whether or not the kindergartens will open on Sunday, which will put a lot of relief on parents who need to go back to work, and what that first stage will be. But included in that first stage will definitely be something with regards to small businesses, especially those small businesses that aren't client facing. It's an absolute imperative that we start to get these businesses working. And I was quite surprised to see in the Guardian today, this is the UK based daily. It's much more aimed towards the
yeah.
It's much more aimed towards the left. But there was an article in there talking about Israel during the lockdown and describing, yes, you know, the issues with the protests and the Haredi, but actually lauding Israel for its, what they're calling circuit breaker lockdown, that we went into this lockdown and that, perhaps other countries should follow our example. Because, you know, at the beginning of this, there was a lot of criticism towards Israel that, you know, we handled the first wave well, we haven't handled the second wave well, but, in retrospect, perhaps, we've handled the second wave as well as we possibly could, because if we look at the trends now emerging in the countries that are following and going into their second wave, as we said yesterday, it seems to be spreading more rapidly, higher mortality rates. It definitely seems to be a much more I don't want to use the word vicious. I don't want to put that that kind of language out there, but it is a much more virulent way than what we seem to have seen with the first wave. So I think before we criticize Israel, it's not me being sensitive to criticism towards Israel. It's, you know, looking at what's happening in other countries. Maybe we did handle this as best we can. And, slowly, we may be starting to come out of it.
What's interesting to me, Rodine, is that there's like political credits at play. And I look at a community like the Arab Israeli community, who didn't start off very well, but somehow have got their house together. They've got their act in order and their infection rates are coming way, way, way down. I look at the Haredim who haven't done so. And I think this is all going to play out post COVID in a most fascinating way. And I think people like your mayor, I don't know her name. She's mayor of a little town, Noezville in the Negev called Yerucham. She has been remarkable. She's just taken a red city and she's made it green. And I think this is going to play out in your space afterwards in a most fascinating way. Would you agree with me?
Well, yeah, and we have to look at the Haredi community because we also have to understand the culture of the Haredi community. And it's not the entire community. I was quite astounded to hear Yehuda Meshi Zahav. He's the founder of Zaka, the search and rescue organization, a phenomenal organization. I know you have Zaka in South Africa, an extraordinary, extraordinary organization. You know, he came out with an interview in the Times of Israel the other day where he expressed his frustration. You know, he said, you know, he's never seen anything like this with the dead of piling up and he's concerned. As many of us are concerned with the fact that this could exacerbate anti-Semitism. You know, we see what's happening in New York, in other parts of the world and here in Israel. But we also have to understand very carefully the culture. First of all, it's not the entire Haredi community. It's sects or groups within the community. These are communities like the Netare Carter, which are very much at the forefront of the flouting. They don't listen to the rules of a country. They don't recognize Israel. That's a whole other discussion that we could have. We've heard this from their representative speaking on Israeli television quite often these last couple of weeks. And this is not just with regards to COVID. I know it's with regards to other issues. It is also like their cultural belief that obeying the Jewish halachic laws transcends the state laws or the secular laws. And this is where, you know, we are having this issue, also coupled with a lack of trust between the community and government officials and representatives in the army, because they are the apparatus of the state, and also the lack of access to internet and TV and all these mechanisms for communication. And then you do have these families that that are probably on the more lower end of the financial spectrum, that are living in very, very close quarters. These are big families, and therefore the spread is very, very quick. So, you know, we have all these moving parts to take into consideration. And I think people, you know, before we point fingers at the Haredi community, we also need to understand the culture that many of the sects within this community operate by.
Rolene, we don't have much time, but I do want to address the final issue today, which is the votes recently to put new members on the UNHCR, bastions of human rights. Really, really, what a joke that is. What did the Israeli ambassador have to say about it? Just bearing in mind, we spoke about it under the news section, but not in the context of Israel. What did you guys have to say about it?
Well, first of all, You cannot make this stuff up. You cannot make up the fact that the UN Human Rights Council have voted on China, Russia, Pakistan, and Cuba onto the council. We can't forget that China at the moment is rounding up Uyghur Muslims and putting them into concentration camps to desensitize them. Or to
re-educate is what they're trying to do.
Re-educate them. That's the word that I'm looking for. Seems very, very horrific, as well as the cutting off of the hair of women. Very reminiscent of what we see in our own historical past. But Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, actually called on Western democracies to withdraw from the Human Rights Council, saying that it is an absolute sham that there is human progresses onto this council while passing a disproportionate amount of resolutions against the state of Israel. And he says that that's absolutely flagrant anti-Semitism. I concur. And I say, listen, if the biggest human rights violators in the world are criticizing us, we must be doing something right.
There you have it. Rolene Marks, as always, thank you so much. And it's Wednesday. We've got one more day together tomorrow, and you'll be there.
One more day, but as I said, those wild horses
won't keep you away.
Absolutely. We'll chat tomorrow.
Cheers, Rolene.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.